I appreciate the hymns tonight. Thankful to be back in the house of the Lord. Thank Brother Spicer for reminding us again tonight what a great privilege this is. And it's good to have him back with us and his family this evening. Brother Spicer is the pastor at Harvest Missionary Baptist Church in Hendersonville, Tennessee. And of course, he was with his church and didn't get to be with us this morning. And I'm glad that he's back tonight. And on behalf of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, I want to extend a welcome to all of our visitors tonight. We're very thankful to have you with us. And if you have the opportunity, I'd like to encourage you to come back throughout this week. Lord willing, we're going to be meeting at 7 o'clock each evening. And I'd like to encourage you to come back and hear Brother Spicer. He's brought before us some wonderful, powerful sermons the last two nights. And I believe the Lord has really been helping him. And I'm thankful for that and for the liberty that the Lord has blessed him with. And I want to encourage you to come and be with us if you can and support him as he labors with us here. I'm thankful once again for our new sister, Miranda, and thankful most of all that the Lord saved her soul Friday evening. Her testimony was a wonderful blessing to us, and I'm thankful that she followed the Lord in baptism. I'm glad that she didn't put it off and didn't wait. I'm thankful that she just went ahead and followed the Lord in baptism. And let's pray for her that God will use her as a humble servant. I've got some scripture that I'd like to share with you, and I do ask an interest in your prayers this evening. If you want to turn to the 20th chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 11, I've got a few verses that I would like to read from this chapter tonight. And I want to ask the same thing that I asked Friday evening at the beginning of the revival meeting. I want to ask you tonight to pray that as the message is brought forth this evening, that it won't come forth in word only, but in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Our preaching, in order for it to be effective and do its work in the souls of people, must be accompanied by the Spirit and the power of the Lord. And I want to ask you to pray that the gospel would have free course. Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The title of my message tonight is "You Will Be There, You Will Give Account." As I thought about these scriptures and studied them and prayed over them and meditated upon them, I began to think about during my years of pastoring some of the things that I've heard. And sometimes you just never know what you're going to hear. I thought about some of the things that I have heard about, or have heard rather, from people as to times that they would perhaps come up to me and just volunteer some information to me without me asking for it at all, just volunteer information to me as to why they weren't at church. And don't mean to be making fun by saying this, but it's almost been amusing sometimes the things that people will tell you as to why they don't come to church. I mean, you may hear of somebody going back in and staying home because they broke a nail on the way out the door. I mean, there's just a lot of things that that we use as people to excuse ourselves. And oftentimes I have thought about things that people have said, and no doubt things that I have said. And I've thought about them in the light of how God must look at them. And some of the things that I've been told, I've had that thought, well, I wonder what it's going to be like when they lay that out before the Lord. And I'm convinced of one thing, that as people, that we will take excuses, and we certainly all have the potential to want to justify ourselves when we're doing things that we know we really shouldn't be doing. We have the potential to want to justify ourselves in those things. But God sees everything in the light of truth. Everything. And the Bible says that His ways are not our ways, that His thoughts are not our thoughts, that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways, and His thoughts higher than our thoughts. And there are things oftentimes that we will even perhaps justify with each other that probably we shouldn't, but we do. I remember a brother one time, and I mean, at least he was real honest with what he said. Revival was going on, and he said, I enjoy going to revival services, but he said, coon hunting season's in, and I really like hunting them. And so, I mean, we can think about things like that, and we can wonder, well, you know, what's God going to say when He lays that out before the Lord? And the things that I have on my heart tonight that I want to bring before you is that we are going to answer one day to the Lord. You know, we have heard several statements, it seems lately, about the freedom that we have in our country. And I thank God for our freedom, but I think that our country has a tendency to really abuse our freedoms. I don't believe that if you go back and study the reasoning behind freedom of speech, for instance, freedom of speech was not so that people could stand up in public somewhere and blurt out any kind of vile thing that they want to say to somebody else. That's not what freedom of speech is about. Freedom of religion is about religion. It's not about freedom of no religion. It's about the freedom to choose the way that we worship. And so a lot of our freedoms today, I believe, are misunderstood. I know that our society today seems to have a very distorted view of what church and state really is all about. But nevertheless, we do have many freedoms in our country. And we are ought to be thankful for the freedom that we have because it was purchased with such a great price. And God gave man, when he created him, he gave unto him the ability to choose, to make choices. And I thought that yesterday evening that Brother Spicer, when he reminded us again of how that there in the beginning of time in the garden, how that man had a choice whether to obey or to disobey God, and he chose to disobey. And although that God does allow us to choose, God is not going to excuse us when we make the wrong choice. God will hold us accountable for choosing wrongfully. And we see very well that that's what he did with Adam. Though he allowed him to choose whether or not to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when Adam disobeyed God, there was a price to be paid for his disobedience. And I want to talk about three things this evening that the Bible establishes. And that is, one, that there is going to be a day of judgment. Amen. Now, God hallowed the Sabbath day. We find in the word of the Lord that in Exodus chapter 20 there, where it was written about the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments, we find that the Lord said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. And God hallowed the Sabbath day, and today we are still under that commandment to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. But many people, it seems, they make the choice to not do that. And so, and it seems that the more that time goes on, that the more people seem to be of the mindset that they can just go their own way and do their own thing. That was one of the key phrases of the 60s for people who wanted to live a life that was rebellious to the things of society. They said, well, I can do my own thing. And, you know, certainly people can choose to do their own thing, but when their own thing goes against the things that God has commanded, there's going to be a price to be paid. And so today, it seems that people will even choose to neglect the things of the Lord and neglect attending His house and neglect the keeping of the Sabbath and all sorts of things. And I'm almost afraid that we have slipped as a society, that we are slipping further and further into the mindset that we can do these things and it's nobody's business. It's our own business, and we will do what we want, and we will not suffer the consequences either way, but we will. We'll suffer as a church if we disobey the things that God has laid down for us in the Scriptures of how that we are to operate. As a church and as His people, we'll give an account to God for those things. If you're here tonight and you're lost, if you continue in your lost condition until that death finds you, as Brother Spicer preached to us last night, about the fact that we are all going to die. If you continue in your sins until death overtakes you, then you'll stand before God without anything at all to justify you before Him. Without any covering for your sin, you'll stand before Him and you will give an account. When we stand before the Lord, and I'll get to some of my scriptures here in a moment, Lord willing, but when we stand before the Lord, every one of us will stand before Him and answer for, as the individual that we are. We will stand before God as individuals. Now, I want to use this scripture, and I really believe that though there are many verses, I really believe that there's only one verse that's necessary to scripturally prove it, the fact that there will be a day of judgment. God will have His day. There may be things that you choose here in this life that go against God, but be assured that God will have His day. And it's my prayer tonight that if you are here and you're not saved, that on that day that you stand before the Lord, that He will be able to see that the blood has been applied to your soul. But you only have what little span of time that God is giving you in this life to get that taken care of. And then it'll be eternally too late. We need to look tonight into eternal things. We look way too much at temporal things. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we have our eyes and our minds fixed too much on temporal things, the things that we are able to see with our natural eye. We need to look tonight at eternal things. And though we cannot see eternal things with our natural eye, we can see them through faith. The 11th chapter of Hebrews talks about those who through faith endured as seeing Him who is invisible. I've never seen the Lord with my natural eyes, but I've seen Him through faith. And so we need to consider things tonight that are eternal, because let me say this, the things that we see here, the material things that man has made, that has been wrought by the work of our hands, they're not going to last very long at all. And then they're going to be gone. You need something that will bless you for eternity. If you're here tonight and you're lost, even if you don't realize it, I pray that you will, but even if you don't realize it, let me say to you this blessed truth, that the greatest need that you have is being saved. There's nothing that you will ever need in your life, and throughout your life we are a needy creature. Throughout your life there are going to be things that you're going to need, but you don't need anything as much as you need a good dose of the Lord's salvation, because that's the only thing that will mean anything at all when you stand before the Lord one day. You'll either be clothed in His righteousness or you'll be found naked. Things with God are very black and white, aren't they? There's not the gray areas that exist with men don't exist with God. You'll either stand before Him saved by His grace. You'll either stand before Him with the blood of His Son to justify you, or you'll stand before Him condemned for eternity. One way or the other is how you'll stand before Him. And so, finally, to the verse that I wanted to give you, and I believe that this well proves the fact that there is a day of judgment, that God will have His day. Acts chapter 17, verse 31, when Paul preached that notable sermon there to the men of Athens, there at Mars Hill, one of the things that he said was that God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He raised Him from the dead. Now the Scriptures teach us very plainly in that verse, if no others, and as I said, there are many others, but in that verse and that verse alone, the Bible plainly declares to you and I that there will be a day of judgment. And I'm afraid that many people in the world today, I'm afraid that many people, as I said, believe that they can do whatever they want and act however they want to act and say whatever they want to say and live any vile way that they want to live and just completely choose to ignore the things that God has said, and they think that they can just go on that way and there won't be any ramification for it at all because it's their choice. But I want you to know that everybody seated here tonight was made by the hands of God. All of us. In fact, the Bible tells us that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The psalmist declared, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." We all belong to God. We are all the creation of His hands. And we are all subject unto God. God owns our very breath. I keep, Brother Spicer's message just keeps coming back in my mind. He told us that last night. He told us that every breath that we take it because God gives it to us. Every time that our heart beats again, it's because God allows it. Every time that the lungs inhale and exhale, it's because God allowed it. I'm telling you, friends, He is still in control of our very lives. God has appointed bounds for us that we just cannot pass. And Job said that the day was going to come, and it's going to come for you and I. Job said, "He will call, and I will answer." Now, friends, listen, I want you to know something, that you can choose things in this life. You could have chosen tonight to be here or not be here. And I thank God that you made the choice to be here. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I'm glad that you're here under the sound of the Word of God and among praying people. I'm thankful that you're here. We can choose in this life to do something or to not do something. But in the day of God, in the day of God's righteous judgment, in that day that He hath appointed, that He's going to judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ the Lord, I want you to know that all of us that are here tonight, whether we are living when the Lord comes back or whether we have already gone the way of the grave, every one of us that's here tonight is going to appear there on that day. The Bible says in the 25th chapter of Matthew, it teaches us that when the Son of Man comes in the clouds of heaven and with all his glory, that he's going to gather all nations before him. The Lord is going to call everybody that he has ever created out of every nation under heaven. He's going to gather them all before him, and we're going to appear. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and he said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that we must give account to him of the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad." We must all appear. He wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, and he said, "So then every one of us must give account of himself to God." Friends, listen, we won't have any choice on that day. We may gather together here on the earth from time to time. We may have things that we assemble for here on earth from time to time. And somebody may choose not to show up. Somebody may decide, "Well, I don't want to go this time." And it could be a church service, or it could be a family get together, or it could be anything. It could be your job. I know perhaps all of us here at one time or another, we just chose not to show up at work. But we'll show up at the judgment. We'll show up. I'll tell you what, to me, that's a look into the wisdom and the great mind of God. Think about it. For somewhere around 6,000 years that the earth has been here, and I have no idea how many people, I wouldn't even know how to guess. I wouldn't know whether to guess into the billions or trillions. I have no idea how to guess how many people have passed through the scene of time, while the earth has been here. And by the time that God destroys the earth, I have no idea how many people will have occupied the earth. I know one thing, it's a whole lot more than I could ever keep up with. But God knows everybody by name that has ever lived or will ever live on the face of the earth. And when he goes to gather all nations before him, he will have the knowledge to bring before him every person that has ever lived. So if you perhaps have been foolish enough to think in your mind that, well, maybe when God fulfills that day and begins to judge the earth, maybe he'll forget about me, maybe I'll slip by him, it won't happen. You'll be there. I don't know if you believe that or not. I pray that you do. I pray that you will believe that. But whether you do or whether you don't, I assure you, you're going to be there. John said, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works," no matter what era of time, what dispensation of time, no matter what century that you lived in, no matter how you died, no matter if you you know, you died at sea, and your body was buried at the bottom of the sea, or if your body was burned up, or if your body has gone back to the dust when the Lord comes back, none of that matters. We will stand before the judgment of God, and we are going to give account to our Creator. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've never considered myself to be very smart, honestly. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not a brilliant man. I try to do the best I can. But I'm going to be honest with you. When somebody tells me everyone, I just don't know any other way to interpret that than everyone. When somebody tells me all people, I don't know how to interpret it other than it being all people. And that's exactly what Paul wrote. And he said, we must all appear, every one of us. In the Corinthian letter, he said, we must all appear. In the Roman letter, he said, every one of us will give account of himself to God. And I don't know how everyone can mean anything other than everyone. And I don't know how all can mean anything other than all. We are all going to be there on that day. Every one of us. I want you to know tonight that for those of you that are not saved, that you alone are responsible to God. You alone. You will stand before Him one day. And you will answer to Him. You will answer to the God, the great God of heaven that created you. And He's not going to hear the way that people may have heard. God won't take excuses. You won't be able to stand before Him and excuse yourself in any way if you have failed to obey His command to repent and be saved. I mean, you might be able to, you know, there are some people, honestly, that can really come up with some doozies. You've probably heard some. I mean, there are some people that when they're trying to excuse themselves before people, I mean, they can come up with some good ones. But you will never come up with anything that God will accept. You know why? Because God knows the truth. And God will judge us according to the truth. God will judge us according to righteousness. There have been many throughout time in the courts of our lands that have slipped through the system. There have been some that have been judged and found guilty and been sentenced to prison time, or perhaps even sentenced to death, that were never guilty of the crime. There have been some that the courts have found innocent. They were judged innocent by a jury of their peers and set free to go freely back into society when all along they were just as guilty as they could be of the crime. Because man's judgment is not perfect. Man's judgment is not like the righteous judgment of God. There's faults and failures in the judgment of men, but God's judgment will be according to absolute perfection. And nobody will slip through and slip past God. And you know, the best thing that anybody can do. Whether you need to be saved tonight, or whether you have been saved and you've wronged the Lord, the best thing for anybody to do is just come clean with the Lord, because we can't hide anything from God. We can't hide anything at all from God. These scriptures tell us that in that day of judgment, that the books will be opened, and it said that another book was opened, which is the book of life, and whosoever. You see, the Bible tells us that in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whosoever, it's a whosoever will salvation. But we're also told here that when the book of life is open, that whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And friends, listen, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows every one of his children. He knows those that are his, and he knows those who are not his. And there are no mistakes in the book of life. There are no names that have been left out that should have been there. And there are no names that will ever be put in it that should not have been there. It's a perfect register. And when it's opened, and your name's not there, if your name's not there, you will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, that's a horrible thought to me. I hope that it's a horrible thought to you if you're not saved. But I want you to know something, that what I convey to you tonight in this message won't even touch the reality of how horrible that it really will be. But we will all be there, and we will all give account. I believe those facts are plainly proven in the scriptures. God will have his day of judgment. Everybody from every nation under heaven will appear, and every one will give account, not of somebody else. You know, before I close, I want to say this. It seems to me that we live in a society where people more and more all the time, they want to shift the blame to somebody else. I mean, you can get sued for next to nothing. I mean, you know, let's face it. If you order a cup of coffee, you ought to know that it's going to be hot. I mean, you can get sued today for next to nothing. People want to shift the blame for things on everybody else. You know, people have always had that nature, haven't they? What do we see about the first people to ever be on the earth? They're in the garden. You know, what did Adam say? Well, you know, when God called Adam to account for what he had done, what did Adam say? Well, you know, this woman you gave me, she came and she gave me the fruit, or told me about the fruit, and then she tried to blame it on the devil. And I mean, you know, people have this, it seems, this inherent thing because of our nature of sin to want to shift the blame. And we live in a society where people just don't want to step up to the plate and take responsibility. But you know, when we stand before God, we'll take responsibility for ourselves and ourselves alone. What did it say in Romans 14 and 12? Or in 1 Corinthians, rather, I believe it was. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. We must all appear and give an account unto God of ourselves. Ourselves. We're going to have a song. I appreciate your attention. And I'm going to ask that we have a song. And I want to say once again, before we stand and begin to sing, that, you know, tonight you have the opportunity to seek the Lord that you might be pardoned, that you might be forgiven of your sin, that you might be saved. And there are many people here tonight that I'm confident will pour out their hearts and pray for you. But I'll tell you what, ultimately it comes down to that God will have to hear from you. He'll have to hear from you from the depths of your heart, because it's you that's accountable to God. And one day, if you fail to believe in the Lord with all your heart and get saved while you are living, one day in eternity, when you stand before the Lord, you'll have to answer to Him for yourself as to why you did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And hear the awful, eternal pronouncement upon your soul. Depart. Depart into everlasting fire. You see, there won't be any choice in that. For all those that hear that awful, eternal condemnation from God, depart from me into everlasting fire, not one will be able to say, well, no, that's not really what I choose to do. You will have to obey His voice, and you'll have to depart into everlasting fire. But now you have opportunity. You have opportunity to seek Him. And while we stand and sing, my prayer is that you will take advantage of that opportunity.